is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We've got meme text coming up in this hour, so you guys still have time. 710. 710 is the text number.
I'm very disappointed.
Really?
In our texters.
They got into it early in the show.
I'm not seeing a lot here.
Maybe I just need to keep reminding them. I haven't brought it up since, I think, our opening.
So, all right. Well, I mean, there's plenty to make fun of here.
We give you all kinds of material.
Yeah. Every day.
Oh. Well, it's, yeah, you still have time. 710 is the text line, so we'll do that coming up at 545. But as we touched on to open the show, for those of you that weren't with us, things have been a little rough for the Mariners. This could be a very welcome day off, just a chance to sort of catch your breath and relax. It's, I guess it was built in because of the weather, because
right?
Todd, you started the series yesterday right. with Minnesota. You got a day off today, and then you're going to finish it Saturday, Sunday. So it's kind of a weird quirk in the schedule, but... with everything that's gone on, we talked about the injuries to James Paxton. That's none of that sounds good. It's, you know, Tommy John surgery looks like is going to be happening or should be happening. I'm guessing he's going to get second opinions. And I never buy into the whole, yeah, we're going to rest it. We're going to treat it this way. We're going to do some rehab. It'll be fine. It doesn't feel like it's ever fine. And that's a blanket statement. I'm sure there are cases people could point to and say, well, this guy did it and this guy did it. To me, it always feels like they're just delaying the inevitable and then invariably would impact the following season when you're just like, man, I wish you would have just handled this out of the gate. But, you know, you made a point yesterday about surgery should always be the last option, which I get it. I agree, especially for somebody who's been in a number of surgeries like Paxton has. I get the aversion to doing it again. If I can find a better route, a less invasive route, I'm going to take that. But this situation just feels like, that's what it's going to be. You're invariably going to do that. So if you plan on competing again, you want to continue your career, I'd say schedule that surgery today. Schedule it tomorrow.
Yeah. I think it's tough at the time, you know, because again, like I said, the really good doctors will make it a last resort. And then, you know, then there are other guys. I had one time, I had a doctor say to me, well, I really don't know what is going on in your knee, so I think we need to, you know, go in there and figure it out. I'm like, whoa, you just said you don't know what's going on and you're going to do surgery? No, that's not happening. I got in a huge fight. And then, you know, I was screaming and yelling at the trainer, and which we were friends and everything, but it was just a tense moment. You know what set me off was Tom Flores came in and he goes, what's the deal here? He doesn't want to get surgery? I was like, hold on a minute. and then Tom was like, okay, David, okay. He always called me David. It's all right. Let's talk it through. I loved Tom Flores.
Yeah.
Loved him. But, yeah, that was, you know, not the way you do it. That
sounds odd coming from a physician to say, I don't know what's going on in there. Let's cut you open and take a look.
Yeah, exactly. It's like not pop. This is not like popping the hood.
Yeah.
Okay. This is surgery. So, yeah, it's a tough one. I think you have to. You have to be really prudent, and I think err on the side of let's not do surgery. But yeah, I mean.
By the way, did you end up having surgery?
No. Well, let's see. No, I did, but what happened was I went to a different doctor. I went to because that was the thing in the NFL, and they would really try to, I don't want to say pressure you, but I know that some of our trainers had relationships with doctors, and this was the team doctor. But you know, and I found out from my agent really early on, you can go wherever you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back then. You don't have to go to the team doctor. So I would fly to Vail to see Dr. Richard Stedman, who I met in Tahoe when he was there. And he just had this amazing record. And I owe my career to him. He did an amazing job with me and with the rehabilitation and everything as well. Yeah.
So you did. So was it, I guess I'm trying to find out, was the initial diagnosis, I guess you didn't have one. He didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
But did it need surgery?
Yeah, I ended up needing surgery, but, you know, they did a scope instead of just cutting me open, you know, and they knew what it was, you know, unlike the doctors that didn't know what it was.
That guy just wanted to splay you open and start digging around like, this doesn't look right. Take this out of here.
Well, I mean, look, there's good doctors. There's bad doctors. I mean, I think it's so much better now that, and I mentioned yesterday, Dr. Ed Calfane, who is the Seahawk doctor, couldn't be better. couldn't be better. And he's one of those guys, you know, I don't think we need to do surgery here. And look, that's taking money out of their pocket. But, I mean, that's, you do the right thing. And we see sometimes that doesn't happen, but I don't think as much anymore. So for him, I'm sure he's in really good hands, James Paxton. And maybe it is time to, you know, I could see him, what is he, 32?
He'll be 33 when ever he comes back.
When he's rehabilitating it. You know, the question for him will be, you know, are you done with baseball? Are you still want to play enough to go through rehabilitation? Because the rehab part of it is, because not only do you do your normal workouts, then you've got probably 2 hours a day almost of rehabilitation, of, you know, getting treatment, seeing the trainer, going in and getting, you know, stretch. I remember the hardest thing was when they would break up the scar tissue, that basically I would have to lay on my stomach and they would crank my knee, you know, so that my heel towards my
touching
butt.
Yep.
Yeah. And just, it was just painful. And you just have to break through the scar tissue a little bit every day. It's painful. It's a grind. I mean, it's incredibly difficult. And you got to be mentally tough to go through that, or it makes you tough. So, but like I said earlier, you know, since I've had all of these rehabs from, you know, different surgeries and injuries and everything, nothing seems so hard in my life.
Yeah.
You know, something goes wrong, it's like, you know.
Well, I would imagine
something to compare it to.
As a, you know, high performance athlete in any sport, whether we're talking football, baseball, where you're doing things most people can't do, there's an agility there's just a skill level there, a dexterity there that doesn't exist with a lot of people. And then you get into a position like him, you know, with his arm, once he gets it operated on, maybe he's going to have to worry about picking up a cup and moving it over here and going through these, what would feel like these menial little tasks. And you know, just bending your knee and taking the first couple steps. And how frustrating is that when you're used to leaping over a pile or diving here, running here, and here I'm making progress. I took 8 steps today. Or I could see that being remarkably frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, these little, what you'd call like this dumb task that you take for granted, don't even consider. And now I had my arm operated on and I'm lifting 3 pounds right now. Right. I took a big step today. I lifted 6 pounds 4 times, or, you know what I mean? I could see that. Did you ever go through that feeling?
It wasn't so much that, as it was that I felt when I was injured that I was never going to get healthy again. You know, it just feels like that it's just not going to repair. It won't do it. You don't have the confidence of, you know, and your body repairs itself and heals. But it just, that was the overwhelming feeling I had. But yeah, I mean, you start off, actually, I thought that was the more fun part of where you only had to lift like 6 pounds or 8 pounds. I was like, yeah, this is going to get a lot worse.
Yeah. Yeah. You're doing like mini squats or something, working on the knee. Yeah. You're like, I got this. This is getting easier.
Yeah. Oh, it's funny though. I mean, difference in doctors, and just really quick, I remember I went to see Stedman and my knee was not straight. It was still like bent.
I couldn't fully
extend it. And so, you know, he looks at me and he goes, the first thing we got to do is get your leg straight. And I'm like, well, how do you do that? And, you know, that wasn't being done for me. I mean, I was in a brace and I was limping around and he was like, we got to get you out of that brace. We got to get this. I mean, it had a totally different approach. So, we'll see what happens there. Speaking of health and a day off in Minneapolis, Lefko, I just remembered that you actually, was it 2019 when the broadcast crew decided to play pickup basketball, and so, like, nearly everyone got wiped out. Everybody went down.
18, and then Corey Brock wrote a story about it in 2019, but kind of retweeted it today because, lo and behold, there's an off day in Minneapolis right now.
And they made reference to it on the radio broadcast. I heard Riz was making reference to it, saying somebody, they were talking about eating steak somewhere, and they were like, well, that's how you really hurt your arm that time, is lifting these big plates of meat you were eating or something. But they were making reference to that basketball game that seemed to hurt everyone.
Yeah, Riz went down. Sims went down.
Edgar got a tweak somewhere.
Blowers was smart enough to stay out of it. Here's the biggest mistake. They had 4-on-4, and they decided to go full court. Come on, guys.
Is that what they were doing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can't. That's half court all the way for you old guys.
Yeah, so Riz had, what, a ruptured bicep tendon. He tore it or whatever.
The worst was Sims.
Sims ruptured his Achilles tendon.
Achilles. Oh, that's a big one, man.
And then what did Edgar do? Was it a knee?
Yeah, they said he came down at the end of the game awkwardly. It turned out it was just some tweak something in his knee. And he turned out to be fine, but everyone was panicked because the rash of injuries kept coming.
I love that. I mean, it's like, there's not going to be no broadcast today.
Yeah.
Why?
Literally.
Yeah. Because the technology, you know, there's a tower down somewhere. No, it's because everybody got hurt in a pickup basketball.
Yeah. Or they're going to be broadcasting from their hospital beds. We're just going to stick microphones and a TV in front of them and let them call the game from their bed.
Man.
Who else was in that game? Did the story say who else was playing in that?
Yeah. I mean, there was everything. Scott Service was in the game.
Service?
Yeah.
Servy?
Yeah.
Servy. Servy was playing.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And then some director of performance or someone who organized it and some other guys. But yeah, only enough for, I think, 9. One guy left because he had to help some of the players stretch. So there was down to 8.
And it was on, was it at the Target Center?
Yeah. So it was at the practice court. It was at this very nice fitness center,
which the Timberwolves
used as their main training facility. So it was a full length NBA regulation court. So you're running like 94 feet up and down the court.
Wow.
I want to say on that same trip, was that the place where they were throwing the hatchets in the bar? There was like a bar where they went somewhere, and there was like a big wooden target, and they were throwing hatchets or something.
I don't know. Boy, they have too much fun on the road, although that game didn't sound fun. But a lot of cool things you get to do there. Boy, I remember going up into the booth at T-Mobile Park and seeing Riz up there with the arm and the braid, basically strapped to his body so he couldn't move it or anything. It was useless. Just going, dude, what's going on with you?
Well, and then you get crutches over there with Sims.
It's
kind of looked like that. Was that from 1776? The guy playing the piccolo with the wrap around his head. The other guy limping along playing the drums. I mean, these guys were all banged up.
Man,
it's a rough sport when even the broadcasters get hurt.
Doesn't that sum up the stereotype, though, of like the not in shape media members, the guys who just talk and have no athletic ability?
Yes, I could speak
the fact that the first time they try to do that, everything breaks.
Well, first person.
And you see their lack of desire to rehab and get back into the game. They rehab and said, that's it. We're not playing again. You went through a number of rehabs. James Paxton is going to go through rehab. We'll see what he does. I'll be very curious to see just his mindset. If he's eager to continue the career, and I could see it going one extreme or the other, where he's like, all right, enough. You know what? I've gone through this more than I need to. I've made all the money I'm ever going to need in my life. Do I really want to go through a year plus rehab and try to get back to something close to what I was before? Or I could see him going, I'm not leaving this way. I know that's been my story. James Paxton, injury. Those two go hand in hand, unfortunately. And I don't want that to be the reason I no longer play. I want to leave on my terms or leave on a high note or something. So I could see one extreme or the other coming out of this. And I'll be very curious to see what it is with him.
Yeah, I will too. And it'll be interesting to see how close he thinks he is to whatever his second life is going to be. You know, I always talk, when I talk about my football career, it's like it was a whole lifetime ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just such a different thing. And, you know, it all gets done in your early years. And, you know, you wish you had some of the knowledge from your older years. I mean, it's opposite of how most people make money also. You know, it's usually you get, you know, you kind of climb the ladder and slowly get wiser and, you know, better jobs and you move up and then you make money in your, you know, the later part of your year of your career. And it's just entirely opposite. And that's what makes it such a challenge for some of these guys that, you know, after the game is over, there's just no structure. Now, I hear a lot about, like, and no access. A lot of military guys talk about that. I talked to a guy who was in the military because I went through that when the first time I did press for the Seahawks in 2004, that I had to go get a credential, and I had to show it to the guy at the gate, and I had to do all this. I couldn't walk across the practice field because they made the media guys go around to get out to that bubble in Kirkland.
You didn't say, don't you know who I am?
No, man, I just fell in line, but it was tough. I mean, you can't go online. And before that, you know, when you're a player, you have all access. You're everywhere. You're in. You're on the inside. And now all of a sudden you're out, and it's tough, I think, mentally for a lot of guys emotionally to go through.
Well, here's Paxton after the game. This is on Tuesday. And just talking about the frustration because it's, as he says, one thing after another.
You're just frustrating. You know, I feel like for me, it's kind of been one thing after another. I work really hard and do everything that I can to be out there, and I'll continue to do so. And hopefully I can catch a break and stay healthy for a good chunk of time in the future.
Now, again, that's before the recommendation of Tommy John surgery came down. Here he is just talking about what he felt in that second inning.
I think in the second inning there, I'm trying to remember exactly. Kind of felt it coming on. And then by the time that third hitter came up, or I don't know, one of the hitters, it just got worse and worse and just kind of felt it. And it got to a point where I wasn't able to throw pitches.
It's, man, I just feel terrible for the guy. And I saw some people, and it shouldn't surprise me, but people like seemingly angry at him on Twitter. I'm thinking, what do you think he's doing? You think he's trying to get hurt? You think he's not training? He's not preparing himself? I mean, it's just an unfortunate circumstance with him and a lot of players. I mean, Brock Huard talks about his career, and he was always hurt. Some people just can't sustain it. The body just doesn't tolerate it the way other people's bodies can. And this is a guy who's working his tail off to compete and get out there, and it just hasn't worked out for the majority of his career. You know, I found this article last night from Sporting News, which sort of chronicled all the episodes. I mean, he started in 13, was his first year, but he only pitched four games. So you don't look at that as a full season. Just started four games in 2013. And then you go to his next full season, technically, he had 13 starts because he got hurt. The next year, 13 starts because he got hurt. 2016, 20 starts, he got hurt. And you look at it in 14, had a lat strain, saw him spend time on then the disabled list. Then 2015, he was on the DL with a strained tendon on his middle finger in his throwing hand. 2017, dealt with a strained pec muscle. He was on the DL. 2018, back injury sent him to the DL. 2019, knee injury that sidelined him for a month. Also dealt with a sore glute later in the year, was day-to-day. Last year, limited to five starts. Eventually, his season was done, underwent back surgery. And this year, 2021, 24 pitches, and now looking at Tommy John surgery.
That's brutal.
Isn't that brutal?
That's
basically every year of his career.
Yeah. I feel really bad for him. Again, it's funny. Do you remember Jim Otto, who was a center for the Raiders, Oakland Raiders?
I remember the name. I
think he was number double zero, and he was a center for the Raiders. And he owned a Burger King that was like halfway across the Sierra when you drive from Reno back to Stanford when I would drive home. And so he had a Burger King out there. And there was a picture of him, and it had little lines pointing to every point of his body where he had had surgeries. You know, and it was like just the whole thing was entirely covered with all of the things that he, you know, had gone through. And, you know, and it was like concussion to stitches to knee surgeries, everything. And I remember looking at that going, man, I sure don't ever want to be that guy. Kind of am, you know. But
there should be we should have a picture of you pointing to all the areas on your body you've had operated on. And some of them outside of football, like your shoulder.
That's true. Yeah.
Getting reckless on a bike.
I know. Gosh, that was terrible. You should have seen my face, too. I mean, I had a black eye. It was all swollen.
I remember you walking around with your arm in the sling.
Oh, I know. I had to have surgery.
We were doing Seahawks Weekly. You come in carrying a fan in one hand and your other arm in a sling through a packed restaurant trying to get up the stage with your fan.
Yeah, because it was hot in there.
Yeah.
Oh, it was always just boiling hot. And then I had that stupid thing. Yeah, I mean, it's just some people are very – I'm very accident prone. But also, you know, there's also an amount of luck. So let's take Russell Wilson, who is the opposite of that. Is it just his DNA? It's just the way he's put together. It's like, you know how
Matthews hit, I feel like I would still have lingering effects from that hit.
I still feel concussed after watching that. You know how sometimes you can get like a car that's like a lemon?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get these cars that just last forever for whatever reason.
Yeah.
You know? Like, for example, I have this treadmill, and I'm on it like an hour a day.
The one you fell on?
Yeah, the one I fell off of.
That's the biggest upset, is you didn't really sustain an injury. You got scuffed up, but...
My shoulder's not quite the same, man. I had a big bruise back there. And then, I got scraped because my leg got stuck, and so the belt just wore a bunch of skin off of my shin. Yeah. So.
Were you pinned against the wall between the wall and the treadmill,
yeah. And I was trying to get my leg out of there as quick as I could, but
I would pay big money for a video of that.
I'll tell you what, I would too, because I still can't figure out what happened. I don't know how in the world I got. I know one thing. I was trying to drink water, and whatever was in that cup, it was a huge cup of ice water. It went everywhere.
Just, oh my God, that visual
the
is
loudest
killing
noise
me.
Ever.
Dave, going down. It's like one of those. You see those videos on YouTube or Twitter all the time of people on a treadmill, and then they eat fall. It and get shot across the room or something. That's what I'm picturing you getting shot up against the wall, and you're pinched between the wall and the belt, which is rubbing your leg raw.
It's so funny how when you get like stuck in, you get stuck in midair, and you're like, oh, man, this is happening.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I'm going down.
So my original point was about the treadmill before Bob brought that up. The treadmill is from 1994. And it was like originally like a 10 back in the day. It was like a $10,000 or five, maybe it was $5,000, top of the line. And, you know, we bought it for like $1,000. And it was, you know, it only had like 30 hours on it or something. That thing has been so unbelievably reliable.
27 years old?
Yes. It's 27 years old. And, you know, I put, you know, thousands of hours on it and it just works. And you know, sometimes you get, like the texter said, so it says, Dave, so you're saying, unlike Russell, you're a lemon. That's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying.
That's a good mean text.
Yeah, but, you know, the other thing is my wife points this out, that I don't have much regard for my body. That's the other thing is that...
You're not careful.
Yeah, I'm not careful. And so, yeah, that's part of it. But, I mean, how do you explain a guy like Russell Wilson?
I don't, because even when he's been injured, he's battled through it. He played that one season with three injuries. He had Ndamukong Suh fall on his ankle. Yep. He had a pec injury and a shoulder injury.
It was a knee. Remember that?
Was it his knee?
The linebacker from San Francisco, and I can't remember his name, he got Russ. I texted in if you know it, 710-710. He got Russell from behind. And I remember freezing it and looking at his knee. I'm like, that's a blown knee all day long. That's a blown
Suh
knee. Suh
was
the ankle.
So the other was the knee, and he had a pec injury. Remember the pec? Because they were talking about it in relation to the Tavares Jackson pec injury.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yep.
And, yeah, so he had three injuries in that one year.
Right.
Didn't miss a snap.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing.
I mean, and just the way he's put together. But like I said, I mean, you look at that, the way his knee was. Same with his ankle. I mean, it was twisted all the way to the side. Like, typically, you look at that's what an injury looks like. So, I don't know how to explain it. It's his DNA. He's just very well built.
What is that? Physiology? Is that how your body's made up? Maybe his physiology is just talking about Paxton.
He's just a superior human being.
Russell is, and unfortunately Paxton, I don't know.
Paxton
is not there.
Yeah.
It's not there. So we'll see what he does. All right, coming up, Trevor Bauer. Boy, he just keeps annoying people. We'll talk about what's going on with him next. It's Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Coming up in less than 15 minutes, mean texts. We've gotten some good ones in. One that actually made me laugh out loud, and I responded to that person. We'll save that. We'll unveil it coming up in the next segment. You still have time, though. 710-710 is our text line, so just be creative. What do you got there, Dave?
I'm raising my hand.
I like that you kept your mask on under your chin. It's a good look.
I forgot. Eli Harold.
Eli Harold is the one that hit Russell in the knee.
Pulled Russell down from behind and landed on his left leg.
Okay.
That's who it was.
So that was the year Ndamukong Suh landed on his ankle. That was the first game of the season, wasn't it? Dolphins game?
We'll say that was 16, yeah.
Yeah, first so he got hurt out of the gate, and Ndamukong Suh, then that, and then he had the pec injury.
Yep.
Man. And then somebody I was asking, so is that physiology? Is that the way the body's made up? And somebody said, Bob, physiology is associated with biomechanics or dynamic movement, the way a person is constructed is anatomical structure. And then you said, I bet if you typed in physiology into Google, that might be the first thing you read, first article, that maybe that could have been lifted from an article.
It's a branch of biology that deals with the normal functions of living organisms and their parts. That's the first thing. So
okay.
Maybe they do know what they're talking about.
And then somebody said Paxton is like one of those guys that only pitched baseballs his whole athletic life. Like a robot, one ends up with no flexibility or variable strength. Now, I'm going to guess they worked on all of his flexibility. Considering how much he's dealt with injuries, I'm guessing he's probably gone through stretching routines we've never heard of or are familiar with. And they've worked on his flexibility, his core strength, everything when he's got back injuries.
Yeah, but, you know, that I've heard the case made for that, that if you play other sports, you learn to fall. You know how to, I don't know, I've seen some really weird injuries from pitchers, you know, where they step the wrong way or they come off the mound and it's just, you know, and playing football and basketball and track and soccer, all of that stuff, it just, you know, it kind of trains your body. And a lot of it was, you know, how to fall. I think there's something to it. I don't know that that's scientific because I'm sure you could find, I mean, Bryce Harper, I'm sure, Jared Kelnick, I don't think those guys played any other thing than baseball, you know, and they're kind of similar in their path. I think John Paul Morosi told us about that Kelenic's dad owned like a fitness center or something like that. And he was always on these
training center.
Yeah. Training facility. And so they were, and then he just played baseball on those road teams that, what is it? AAU type of
traveling teams,
never played high school, never played any other sports. I think Bryce Harper was the same way. So, I mean, then there's the case of those two guys. And we'll see if Jared Kelnick stays healthy, but Harper stayed pretty healthy. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's 100%, but I think there is a case to be made for, you know, just going out and playing and doing, you know, different kind of movements and things like that from the time when you're a kid instead of just doing the same movement over and over and over. And that's what pitchers do.
Well, hopefully, I'm hoping Paxton will have the fire to come back and say, I'm not ending this way. I'm going to be back, and who knows if it'll be with the Mariners. He only signed a one-year deal here, so we'll see if they've got an interest in bringing him back at a maybe some sort of incentive-laden deal and things like that. We'll see what goes on. But meanwhile, speaking of pitchers, Trevor Bauer, everybody's favorite awkward human being, he multiple balls that he threw during the 4-3 loss to the A's on Wednesday were collected and sent to Major League Baseball for inspection on Thursday. According to Ken Rosenthal, the balls reportedly had visible markings and were sticky. So it could be foreign substances he was putting on there. And it's not just about him being so good that he can pitch with one eye closed. Maybe there was a little aid in what he was doing out there. And he's a guy that's been vocal in the past about, you know, saying here's a quote from something he said in the past. It's only illegal for pitchers to have foreign substance on their person, their body or whatever. It's not illegal for a catcher to have it on his shin guards or his chest protector, as we've seen. I don't recall seeing that, but I'll take his word. It's not illegal for a third baseman to have it on his glove. Not sure why a third baseman would need anything on his glove. Or a center fielder to have it on his glove. So my question is, if I throw a pitch and it gets thrown out and tested and has a foreign substance on it, how do they know that it came from me and not from the catcher's glove or the third baseman's glove?
Right. So that's his point.
I have never heard of another player having a substance on them. I've never heard of a catcher doing that. Maybe it has. I'm not saying it's never. I've just never heard of it. Certainly not an outfielder or a third baseman. Why would they want a foreign substance on their glove?
Well, I mean, maybe it's kind of like, you know, when you lick your fingers, it makes them a little tackier.
Yeah.
You know, maybe something like that to make throws. I've never even considered that, but maybe that is a thing. You know, a guy like Kyle Seager, maybe he just gets a little bit better grip. I don't know, but don't they always change the ball over every single time? And it seems like it would be easy
to get. If that ball hits the ground, it gets changed over. If that ball, it gets changed.
So, I mean, it seems like they would be able to keep track of the balls that only go between the catcher and Trevor Bauer.
He's trying just to present something that casts a shadow over reasonable doubt. Like, I'm just giving you a reason. Hey, it doesn't mean it came from me. It could have come from there, there, or there. Even though I've never heard of that happening at other positions. I just choose to believe he's doing something he shouldn't be doing because that's his personality.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not, but it's interesting. They said the balls reportedly had visible markings and they were sticky. He went 6 2/3 in the loss, gave up 3 hits, 2 runs, 10 strikeouts in that game.
So I guess he's pretty good, much to our chagrin, because we don't like him. We don't want him to be good.
Not really.
You know what? The other thing about the baseballs, it seems like you're hearing it almost every year about the seams.
Yeah.
And I heard a little bit about how the balls are a little bit different this year. And I'm like, how can that be that every year, like, it just seems like they should be able to have them be uniform.
Yeah, be standardized.
Standardized every single year, year after year after year.
I think they're trying to find that balance between we want offense because that's what fans want to see. They don't want to see 1-0. The hardcores do. But if you're trying to appeal to younger fans and get them excited, they want to see big, majestic home runs. But you don't want it to be a video game. So I almost feel like they're trying to find that happy medium between, all right, this ball is carrying way too much, or, hey, this ball is way too dead. And maybe that's how – I don't know. It feels like a conspiracy theory to me that you hear about, oh, the balls are wound much tighter. And maybe they are. I don't know. I can't tell because I've held them each year when they supposedly are tighter wound. And this, it feels like a baseball. Yeah. It feels the same to me. And, you know, maybe somebody that's their business, that's all they ever interact with, they can tell.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it feels like it's part conspiracy theory to just explain poor pitching at times. The balls are carrying like nobody's business.
Right.
I mean, that was a great throw. That was a great pitch. But that ball, you didn't even square it up, and look how far it went. I think sometimes that's true. Sometimes it's used as an excuse to cover up lousy pitching, is what I think. So, but here's just hoping Trevor Bauer is guilty and suffers some sort of reprimand publicly, and he has to wear it. All right, coming up, it is what you look forward to every week. Again, you guys tend to start on Monday and end on Friday with your mean text. We'll unveil your latest gems coming up with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
It's what you look forward to every week. Mean texts here with Wyman and Bob, and you guys can send them in throughout the week. 710-710. The only criteria, be creative. We'll clean it up. If you have to use foul language, we'll clean it up for you.
Mm-hmm.
What do we have this week?
Well, we had some good ones rolling in. So that was a concerted effort by the texters. I appreciate the call for more and more. We did get some good ones. I have to start with one from early in the week, though. It was very funny. The 206. Dave explaining how Jeopardy is played is like my grandma explaining her teenage years. So confusing.
I wasn't explaining how Jeopardy is played. Everybody knows. You answer questions. Just keep it in the form of a question. What is that person's a jerk?
That's true. I guess so.
Something like that. No, I'm kidding. The Jeopardy thing's been topical lately. Aaron Rodgers, pretty good. Pretty good. Not bad. He's done a pretty good job.
So is the goal in this thing that they're going to pick one of these people that have been filling in to get the job? Or
that's what I would think. Yeah. So Dr. Oz was not great. But, you know, I mean, what's Aaron Rodgers going to do? Stop playing football? Ridiculous.
I wouldn't think the paydays would be comparable. Yeah. I'm not sure what a Jeopardy host makes, but I'm going to guess it's not in the same hemisphere as what he makes as a quarterback for the Packers.
I don't know. Judge Judy, she makes like $47 million a year.
What?
Yeah, she does make some ridiculous amount of money.
That's too much. Earlier, I don't know if you have this one, but our boy Boogerbeard checked in for the first time in a while. He says, I'll play football with Wyman. Here, you get to scream it. I'll take him out behind the woodshed. A tree is not a mascot, you Stanford Booklearn nerd. I texted him back, you're going down, Boogerbeard.
Unfortunately, he's not on social media right now for people to sample his humor, because he's a funny guy.
Yeah, I just haven't heard from him, I think, since like December.
Yeah, he's working on a legit comedy career, and so I look forward to seeing how that turns out for him. He's a good dude.
I just like that one. Have you guys seen Step Brothers? So whenever I see the word learned now, I think of learned.
It's
a house radio show of learned doctors.
You and your mom are hillbillies.
There you go. So I'm glad you read that one because I was going to get to it. So that was good. Here's another good one. 509. People like you guys are the reason they have to put instructions on shampoo.
That's right. I haven't checked a shampoo bottle in a while. But
are there instructions?
What does it say? Wet your hair, lather, rinse, repeat.
What are you implying? Are you asking me if I know?
Yeah. I'm looking right at you.
I don't know how to read a shampoo bottle.
I thought Lefko was having a heart attack in there earlier. He was stretching out. He was stretching out like an old man. I was like, what's the matter?
Big pickleball game tomorrow.
Oh, there we go. That's where we're getting to the bottom of it.
Stretching out.
How's your game right now, the pickleball game?
It's been rusty. You know, the weather has thrown it off. Yeah. We're getting back to it, though.
Yeah.
about this? 503.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, did I interrupt? Sorry.
I just saw a quick one here that's 253. You guys are so dumb. You make dumb people look not dumb. All right. Fair enough.
We had a mean one, by the way, earlier. It was just out of bounds, way too far. They asked, we were talking about the Masters.
Yeah.
And they said, are you guys watching the Masters on the TV in your studio?
See,
that's just low blow.
Ooh, I have one along those lines. I got to find it. Oh, there it is. Okay. Nope. Well, there it is. 360. There were a lot. I told you, there were a lot. Copy, paste.
Nope, there
all
it is.
All of a
sudden. Nope.
Yep. All right, nope, the 360. You guys cry more about not having a TV in there more than my three-year-old when I turn off the TV or tablet for bedtime.
So?
Yeah, but I mean, don't we all understand and recognize the buffoonery behind the decision to not have a TV in the studio?
I'm still waiting for a credible reason as to why it doesn't exist
anymore. There isn't one.
Here's a good one.
Pettiness.
This is a funny one. The 213. Bob looks like his muscle. I don't know if I can read this. It's so funny.
Oh, he's going to start laughing like the hillbilly one he did for me.
The one that neither one of us laughed at. Yeah. We sat here laughing at him laughing.
I'll enjoy this. Come on. You can do it.
See, you don't know what. Sometimes things throw you off. Like Bob laughing at Dave on the treadmill.
That's a all funny right, visual.
Yeah. So is this one.
I can't even get it out. I don't even know which one he's trying to read. I'm scrolling through here.
The one that just came in. Bob looks like his muscles are painted on by a guy who looks like Dave, minus the back hair.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
What did you say?
Just read it. 213 up there.
213. That narrows it down. I don't know what
it just came in.
It just came. All right. Let me scroll.
Bob looks like his muscles are painted on by a guy who looks like Dave, minus the back hair.
The back hair. So they're implying a guy like you painted muscles on me who... It, minus the back hair, though.
Wait, I have back hair?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. It
I'm a
like.
Very, I have to say, and I'm not bragging, I'm a very unhairy person. Yeah. I do not have back hair.
Just imagine you painting Bob. I must paint
painting
you.
Bob's.
I just love how funny he thinks that is. That's awesome.
There we go.
What was the one you were reading about me that you couldn't get through? It was something about me with jorts on? Yeah. Out on my lawn, screaming at somebody. By the way, I come home yesterday. My lawn's never looked better. Perfectly trimmed, everything. A huge dog poop pile right in the middle of it.
Was it Hoover or like
no,
a neighbor dog?
I think it was a neighbor dog. And I'm like, who does that?
And doesn't pick it up.
Yeah.
I think that's a metaphor for mean tweets. Or mean text, rather.
You
know, taking a big dump right in the middle of your lawn.
Right.
Right. Good.
Yeah, I'll start to say that's like a gut punch, right?
Yeah.
Not on our table.
Especially with as much pride and effort as you put into your yard.
I just don't understand what person would do that. Would come and... Because one time I had Hoover down. He was down at the bottom. I won't say where he was, but it was a neighbor that I called Dr. Stink Eye, because every time I go past him, he gives me the eyeball. Like, and I'm like, do you want a piece of me? What is this? And I'm going 15 miles an hour. So Hoove took a huge... dump right in front of their front steps and on the sidewalk. It was like perfectly placed.
Yeah.
It was like if you really wanted to do that, like he put it right in the middle.
Right in their path.
Yeah. And I thought about leaving it there. But then I went back home, got a shovel, came down, and got rid of it. I mean, but why would somebody just, there's some grass.
It laziness.
This guy's lawn and go ahead and take a dookie right there in my front. Yeah,
it could have been a pump fake by the dog. Frank's done that to me. I'll take him out with a bag, and then he'll go, and I pick it up, throw the bag away, and then we're walking back home,
another
and
one.
He'll stop and go again. And I'm like, what are you doing, man? So then I got to go home, come back, get another bag. But, yeah, it could have been something like that.
When I take Hoover, I've got a short shovel, and I take that. It's like a walking cane for me, too. And I refuse to. I don't care if there's plastic on my hand. I'm not picking up dog poop. That's
really?
Disgusting. Yeah.
It's funny that I would do it, but you won't.
It's gross. Also, I want to say, like, who's in charge here?
The dog?
Because I'm picking up his poop.
Yeah. Follow him around until he's ready.
Jerry Seinfeld used to say if aliens came and saw that, they would think the dogs were in charge.
Yeah, we were the pets.
Yeah, because we're picking up their poop.
So we have one that is relevant because we have it next week, too. 253, having day baseball means not having to listen to Bobbert and David Wine.
Aw, well, That's true.
About what?
I guess anything.
TV.
About poop in your lawn.
Poop in my lawn.
Poop and TV.
No television. This guy, 360, I pooped on your lawn. It wasn't a dog?
What? Anything else?
Yeah, I mean, we got to wrap it up, but there's some good ones. So here's a good one. They got me. I bet Lefko got second place in the co-ed intramural pickleball championship. I wish. More like co-ed runner-up champion.
Lefko claims he dominates.
No.
He wants competition. I talked to him about some of the competition out there, and he's made references to age. And
you know how to distract him if you're in a game of pickleball with him.
Food.
Yeah. Just put some donuts out there. He was all excited today. Oh, it's C. Roger's birthday. Look at the cinnamon rolls. They brought cinnamon rolls in there.
Who would not be excited about cinnamon rolls?
You were very excited about the email we got. You responded to that. And yeah, food brings them joy. That's cool. All right, coming up, we'll talk some football. The professor, John Clayton, will join us next year with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.